past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end the suffering.
Heather's really fun experience in working meditation yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I was doing this task, and just as an aside, at one point it was around linens, and I was on fitted sheets, and it was just to tidy them up, and there were a couple that needed to be refolded, and I was like, no, fitted sheets, my nightmare, I never can fold these. And I was just like, that's the task, and by, a couple, and I was like, okay, all right, this isn't too bad, and it was just that moment of, like, you just do it, and then it's not that bad, but I was just like, oh, and then when I got to flat sheets, I was like, thank you, corners, that's just an aside, but, but as I was doing the task, I was just sitting there, and just enjoying, just being, and all of a sudden, this thing dropped in about my partner and his ex-wife, and it was like, oh, they have children together, and that's such a special bond, and I'll never have anything special with him. And about 30 seconds, I was identified with it, and I was like, whoa, what's that about? I wonder who's showing up right now. What's going on with her that she's feeling that way? And that was just so powerful. It was so powerful for me, because one of the things that I've really been seeing throughout my time here is that there's a whole group of subpersonalities who have not been taken care of for the last 2 years while I've been in a very dark, deep depression. And I think because I've been so identified all the time with all of them at various times that I just didn't, they were moments of presence, but there wasn't anything consistent. And it's interesting because I'm like, oh, beliefs and assumptions and projections and disidentification, but I always knew how to disidentify, knew what ego and self-hate was, but I think I, like, literally in the process forgot that there were subpersonalities. So to be here, and especially through the New Year's retreat, and looking at anger to be like, oh, what's really going on is there's a lot of people showing up who are having all these experiences. It's been really powerful. And as I was reporting about it, what I reflected was, I think one of the critical reasons that that shift has been able to happen is because of the consistency of being present every day here. Yeah. That when I'm at home, and again, it's moments, but this is my 30th day here. For 30 days, there have been incredible moments and bouts of time of presence. Like, there's just, it's a buildup. Yes. And there's no way to not know it. And so in that moment yesterday, to be in a complete place of joy, wasn't about what I was doing, though I was enjoying it. It was just about being present. I was so there to just see such a shift of, like, oh my God, I just all of a sudden had such a different experience. Like, I was completely here. Now I'm like in a store. What happened? And I could see it happen, and to know that, oh, I was there, but then just got it. Wait, I was really happy like 5 seconds ago. What happened? And you just know that nothing really happened except for this.
Yes.
Was like, wow. And so it was just, and so as I've been looking at working meditation, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that's come up, of course, around like trying to get it right and being perfect and a wrong and da-da-da-da-da-da. But to see that other part of just what it means, the power of being present, because you just notice those things like that.
Yes.
Is really great.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. There's so much in what you just said. So to underline a couple of processes that stuck out for me, one is you just laid out perfectly the way I've heard Sherry talk about it is the process of we can be talked into any state of mind. You know, she does it sometimes in guided images. I'll talk people into despair and then talk people into joy. You know, just the suggestion. So there you are experiencing that. Oh, no, not fitted sheets. No, not that. Okay. You know, and the practice of seeing, okay, that voice just suggests, I'll never have anything special with my partner. And they get in as a quiet little bit. And then noticing, wait a minute, I'm feeling crummy. I'm feeling bad. What's going on here? To have that ability to recognize I've just been talked into a place of being by that voice in my head. And then the next point, the power of disidentifying, that is just so spectacular, isn't it? To actually live it, like, what's going on here? Who just believed that? And what is, you know, I know what's going on here. And in that very questioning is the movement out of it. Mm. So you can really be the one who's not believing that statement of woe or that statement of, you know, despair or whatever, but you're the one who's outside of that looking at it and not believing it, who's questioning it in that spirit of inquiry of what is going on.
And I feel just to that point, what was so powerful was the curiosity. Like, I was like, oh, what's going on? Like, there wasn't like a judgment. I didn't feel, it was just like, oh, what is going on with her? I'm so curious.
Yeah.
Like, and it was exciting. So again, it's that place where, like Sherry said, the first night in the industry, can you get excited about being angry? And I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. But I'm seeing the excitement because I feel like I'm engaging, and I'm so curious who all these people are. So I started my little subpersonality book, and I've just been drawing, like, you know, stick figures, but I'm putting like everything. And I don't know, some might be ego, some might be subpersonalized, I'm not sure yet, but that's the process of inquiry.
Exactly.
And so I'm just going to go through and just start going, what's going on with them? And there's such an excitement because what was very interesting is I haven't had time to spend too much time with her, but the first thought as I was walking and just recording and listening about it was it's just interesting that dropped in and I'll never have anything special, because I've also seen the other side that's very challenging, that they do have children together and there is a connection between them that causes a lot of pain because of how they interact, because they have children and they have to interact in some way. So it was just like really interesting. I'm like, there's a lot of stuff going on there. So again, that curiosity, that's the part that, you know, has been talked a lot in practice that I haven't really been able to, it just feels very true in this moment of really that spirit of inquiry, that it can be such a joy, whatever shows up, when we're there to be curious about
it. Exactly. And see, what I project you're seeing, what you're saying is that there are different processes that we can be in. One is this excited spirit of inquiry, or one is in this kind of noodling figure, now I'm trying to be perfect, you know, whatever. And what you're describing is being in this process of, wow, I almost can't wait for it to happen again. I want to get to what is going on here. Got my little stick figure, got my chart, got my, you know, and I'm seeing, okay, this quality comes in here. And it's just like, it is such a different process. It's a process of sort of being the hunter instead of the hunted.
Yeah.
You know, and that is where we can live. And that's really, that's what awareness practice is being in that space of what's going on?
Yeah, and I just, again, I think it's the note that being here every single day is so transformative, because you're here, you know, and there's a way that just is very challenging when I'm back in a world where the content feels like so huge. And even at retreat, it's 5 days of like inside, 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 and then right back into it. And so it's like to have 30, it'll be 35 days by the time I leave, of just real honest experience of what it's like to actually be present every day.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Well, and Sridevi, you put your finger on the secret, which is, you said something like, it's a cumulative effect. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there you go. There you go back home, and the beauty of the way that this practice is in the world is there's so many opportunities, you know, to have those touchstones to check in. Mm-hmm. Because here, what you're experiencing here in all those extended times of presence, is there so much, this is my projection of my experience, I guess, anyway, is that there's so much to bump into all the time, you know, because there's no other distractions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you get a note or you realize you've been off because there's, you know, there's nothing else, you know, going on, and you're just here, and there's the silence that we can, you know, so, sort of, I guess, instead of things that bump into, it's so many ways to reflect mm-hmm. what's going on for us. And it is it's a cumulative effect. You know, there's this easy to do, easy not to do. You know, so it's easy to come back, but it's easy not to come back. You know, this little saying. And so putting all of those mirrors, all of those places to reflect into our lives, you know, Project Joy, Open Air, the RLB, the virtual meditation. I mean, there are just a zillion things that we can build into our lives. Not living in the monastery, yeah. that can serve the same purpose,
yeah.
and to really see that that's what will assist me in having that cumulative benefit of presence and coming back over and over and over again in the same way that the monastery assisted you to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And just the last thing I'll say is, I think outside of just being here, mm-hmm. the second best part of it is I now have recordings for every single day, multiple,
yes.
so to get to always re-engage and know that this wasn't like a big imagined fantasy, but I actually
yes.
was here. I have recordings. Yes, I was here. So
yes,
so I think that's
such a good point, because there are recordings that we can go back to all the time. And you know what I love that? I remember a long, long time ago making a recording similar, like, okay, this is real. When you think it's not real, I'm telling you, it's real, you know? And I can tell you how often that's been a reassurance to me. It was like, because the voices will say, well, that was just then, and that's just only available there, and you're never going to have that again, and that is just such, you know, horse bucking. So it's good to have that to draw on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's great. I had a similar, I love it how things just, you know, one mind.
Yeah.
I kind of had a similar process go on last night. It was the end of Saturday night, and, you know, time to end the schedule.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, probably most people don't know, remember the song, but it comes from the 60s. And the words were, another Saturday night, and I don't have nobody. I got some money because I just got paid.
Yeah.
How I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I...
Somebody remade it.
Right, yeah. Okay. And I didn't hear that song, but I suspect subliminally, you know, conditioning was like trying to play that soundtrack to me.
Looking for somebody to talk to,
or, you know, oh no, I've got to go back, you know, uh-huh. to just, you know, another Saturday night, just, you know.
All alone.
And, oh my gosh, the glorious thing, and I just love this, is the glorious thing that happened is just instantaneously at the same time, this joy just rose. And it was like, no, I have the recorder. And what that was code for is I have the mentor, I have Sequoia, I have connection with all that is.
Oh, wow.
And I.
Oh, that's a big wow.
Yeah.
Just as to see instantaneously it arrives, no, I'm connected to all it is.
Yeah.
I ain't got nobody, I got everybody.
Yeah, you know, and I know this process has been going on for a while, of course. I've been recording for a while, and yet it hadn't come to that kind of crystal clear awareness. I just felt like the end of loneliness forever.
Yes.
And had never been acknowledged in that way, that that's what has been growing and building for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is such a good point.
Yeah.
That it has been building and growing for a long time. It's the truth, and mm-hmm. you experienced it, embodied it, and really,
yeah.
really
yeah.
got it.
Yeah.
That's the end of loneliness forever.
Yeah. It's, yeah, and just really getting it in the bones. It's, you know, whatever's happening, you know, wherever I am, whatever the situation, there's no, I don't even need to have the, if, even if I don't have a recorder in my hand, you know, which, you know, definitely, but just to know there's just nothing can take this away now, that this is that connection that's always been sought, that was always felt to be someplace outside.
Yeah.
That it's and it's not. And it was just this. It was just so. It turned out from another Saturday night to a party night.
from just a Saturday night alone to a Saturday night at a party. Well, because you know, I love what you're saying. That even that connection. You're seeing is that it's always been there. It's always been true and real. And we practice our way into the true and real, right? Mm-hmm. And so getting it, that, you know, in the way when you said you don't even have to have the recorder in your hand, it's like that's been part of the training to get us to what is the true and real, which is we're all one, we're all connected, we're all in a living in a party.
Yeah, and I'm not saying we don't need to record it. We definitely do. But I mean, if anything happened, that everything was taken from me, I just know that, you know, that's what's so.
That is what is so.
That is what is so. So it's just, and, you know, as was just being talked about, the gift of practicing with presence, you know, having that opportunity to do that in this environment. And how that just builds and strengthens, and the ability to hear those wonderful messages that were, you know, before practice, completely drowned out by, you know.
Yeah, it's the images that you're using, getting it in your bones. And before practice, those messages may have been coming in, but they would just bounce right off because there was, you know, it was hard. There was no place for them to land, and what practice is really opening those places for the real to enter, or us to be aware of it, I guess is a better way of saying it, and to really experience that and see it and be and recognize the practice, the training, and the love that's gone into making this human receptive to what is really really.
Grateful for it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
A couple of things I was just thinking about. You know, you're mentioning all those practice opportunities that can just, you know, a person can immerse in. And I just think, God, it's just been, I'm talking about an accumulation, you know. I mean, I just think back to when I moved here, you know, and there was a telephone shed, you know, and nobody was allowed to use it, really. And all the things that have built, just like practice has built, to create an environment possible any place you go, which is really amazing.
It is. I'll just add my memory of that, too. I remember when I was living out in the world, and a maybe quarterly, monthly, sometimes unpredictable newsletter.
Right.
You know, and that was sort of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, other than coming on retreat, of course, and to get it, you know, I was thinking that too recently of just how many offerings there are, so that as practice has matured, that offering has been made to everyone who is approaching this holy path and who is following this holy. It's just been a miraculous. Progression is not the right word, but unfolding.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like as people's practice has matured, so has practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, as an entity in the world, as an availability. So I had a couple of things happen yesterday that were very fun. One was, I started doing the, I don't have a timer on my watch, but I was, when I would get, think of it, which was about every hour, I would just check in with what was going on, which was very helpful. And then yesterday I didn't have a recorder either, I had given where I was. But I found various points in the day I would just stop and say, so what's happening here? And it was so helpful. And what I saw was, so one of the times it really jumped out for me was, I mean, sometimes what was happening here was, well, I'm here and this is going on, and I mean, I didn't have anything very profound to say. And at other times, at one point there was an interaction going on. Somebody did something and then I did something, very familiar pattern, and I saw it. And what happened, what arose was, oh yeah, that happens. And boy, did that disidentify. You know, it was like. Stepping from being in the tennis match to stepping back and saying, oh yeah, that happens, I missed a shot, or whatever, you know?
Uh-huh.
It had nothing to do with me anymore.
Yeah.
It was so great.
Uh-huh.
And it took that long.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have a recorder, but I said, I can do the practice.
Yes.
and then when I got home, I recorded about it.
Uh-huh.
You know? So that was, it's very helpful. So I would endorse that practice. That sort of checking in regularly.
Yes, and let me just expand for the sake of the recorder and people
right.
who may not have heard it. So on Project Joy last week, there was a call about one of the practitioners who checks in, sets an alarm, checks in every hour and asks sort of what's going on. Is this person, am I being treated the way I deserve mm-hmm. to be treated? Or however we want to do that check-in and
mm-hmm.
then make it a little, maybe even a 30-second recording
mm-hmm.
about that. And as you're pointing out, we don't need an alarm, and we don't even actually technically have to have the recorder. We can still do the practice.
Right.
And so it just dropped in about every hour, as life would have it, to do that check-in. And what you were able to see, and you know, sometimes there are these really aha moments, and sometimes it's just a little check-in. But this one off that I love, I want to underline that aha moment of being able to just step back and go, oh yeah, that happens. Because that is the process that we're describing, is I'm checking in with how this human being is. I'm not checking in being the person who is doing the unskillful thing or missing the shot or whatever. I'm checking in as the one who loves that person unconditionally and just wants to see how you're doing.
Right.
And that's the world of difference, isn't it?
Yeah. And the other thing I found was that I was at an event last night with lots of people yesterday afternoon, and one or two times during the event that could happen. So it can even happen that fast, you know? I don't have to go off into the bathroom and get my recorder, and I can just get, oh, I see what's happening.
Yeah.
And then it's gone, but that's fine. You know, that just brings you right to that present spot,
right.
Which is very
here.
Fun.
Bring us here. Yeah.
So another thing that happened that was very cool was I was sitting yesterday morning, and do you know, it was one of those moments of, you've said something 10,000 times and suddenly you hear it.
Uh-huh.
So I got to this stuff about karma. You know, I'm born of karma, I'm heir to karma. And what dropped in was, it's not my karma. It's karma.
Yeah.
And everything that happens in this life contributes to it one way or another. Sort of good karma or not so good karma. And so I experienced sitting as service. You know, there's been moments before where I've experienced that, but I really got it that so creating this space and this life and this moment is service, because it feeds karma one way or another,
yeah.
as does everything.
Yeah.
But you know, sitting, it was really a chance to see that. So it was just a kind of a wonderful moment of getting it truly that we are not alone.
Yes. Oh wow, getting it that we are not alone and that nothing is personal. Not even practice, not even my meditation. You know, it's that place that I think Sherry and Ashwini have talked about in recent years of moving from my practice to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Will it benefit my practice to, how can we benefit practice? And that's that place of, it's just karma.
Right.
It's not my karma, whether it's going to be good for me karma or bad for me karma or bad, about building my karma or am I burning away my karma. It's just karma in the world.
And during the retreat, at one point, Ashwini said something like, it's all karma.
Uh-huh.
And somehow, you know, I realized I've fallen into the pattern of thinking that karma's the bad stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
It's all karma.
Yeah.
So that was helpful, too, you know, that it's all karma.
Yeah.
And so everything is a contribution in one way or another.
Yes.
And And that just jumped out at me when I went through the daily recollection yesterday.
Well, it's like giving an insight into how the world just works. It's just how the world works, mm-hmm. that it's all karma. We're either contributing one way or another. Mm-hmm. And so in that understanding, we can, as you described, go to a place of, so I want to contribute this way, mm-hmm. sitting is a contribution. Mm-hmm. And it is, and I love those experiences of when you hear something 10,000 times and then you really hear it. Yeah. I love those experiences, yeah. because it just feels like they live deeper and deeper inside the being or something, I don't know. But and I can project anyway, that's even a neat karmic contribution as well. You know, when we hear something in a deeper way, it's like, okay, then there's that karma, because everything is karma.
Well, and also what it validates is those first 10,000 times were important.
Yes, we're back to the cumulative effect, aren't we? Right. It was a tipping point. Yeah?
That's right.
And yeah. Malcolm Gladwell, he was right. Yeah, it was a tipping point.
That's right. It was going to happen at 10,001. But it took the first 10,000.
Yeah, yeah, it was like the snowflakes on the branch. You know, 10 million and one, and 10 million two. Right. Yeah. Thank you. Jim.
I've been looking at that same process that has been coming up around just the cumulative effect. The image that was dropping in right now is, I'm not even sure what the technology is, the image is sort of just out of my awareness, but something where, how the first printers were, where they would run over the thing and then they would run back over it and then they'd run over it again and they'd run, at first it just looks like dot, 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 a couple dots here, a couple dots there, and then a few more dots, and then a few more, and then it starts to look like a word, and then there's a whole sentence there, and then there's a, so it's kind of that sort of, yeah, exactly, yeah. But I suspect probably something more like sanding something off, like something being taken away is more.
Kind of like finding. First, it looks like a little less cred on board. Yeah. A little less. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's, wow.
Yeah, something like that. I had an experience recently where I was looking at something that I haven't looked at in a few years, mm-hmm. and just having that. Sherry will sometimes talk about that. I'm going back to read something at regular cycles, mm-hmm. and just having that experience of like, wow, this is different. This is really, really different. And for me, it's such a relaxing kind of a, oh, right, I truly don't have to do anything. Just keep showing up and giving that, kind of like was just being talked about with the sitting. Just keep giving the best sort of nourishment, if you will, that I can to the whole system. And the life just does it all. Mm-hmm. Just takes that sort of good stuff, you know, literally and metaphorically, you know, the silence, the good food, the, you know, all the things that we can make choices about to put the best thing we can into it, but then I don't have to do anything with any of it.
Oh, I can just feel the relaxation as you laid that out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing like realizing through maybe being somewhere that we haven't been in a while, looking at something we haven't looked at in a while, to realize that, oh yeah, life is unfolding. Life is doing all the heavy lifting in that sense. Yeah. What we bring to the table is making the choices that bring the best possible.
Making the choices for the input.
Because
as I'm looking at it, like food is actually kind of a good analogy because I'm not in charge of digesting it.
Yeah.
I'm not in charge of. I don't even understand it.
Yeah.
I have very little information.
It's going to happen regardless of what you.
Right? Yeah. And it's quite, from what I understand, it's quite involved. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to it. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of different components. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the way that it all works together is completely miraculous. Mm-hmm. But the only thing I seem to have any influence over is what I put into it. Mm-hmm. And then therefore what its job is from there.
Yes.
And I can feel the differences between what I put into it,
yes.
and what it then needs to do to do its part.
Yeah. And so what you have anything to do with is what is the input? What's the raw material, so to speak, that goes into this miraculous system that really just then takes that material and does what it does? Regardless of what you do,
exactly.
Which is a really I don't know what the adjective would be, but it's a way of understanding our role in it, mm-hmm. that is quite relaxing and and at the same time quite empowering. Yeah. You know, we do have some input in the input.
There's a piece of the earlier conversation that's floating around that, but I can't quite see it. But just that place of I think it was around that, you know, it's available when I'm not recording, but that doesn't mean I don't need to record.
Uh-huh.
And I heard that in both of those conversations, that place of, because I've also been, I think I talked about it Thursday night, but I've also been doing the hourly check-ins. I'm so deeply grateful for that coming along. It's been really, really fun on so many levels.
Yeah.
But one of them I've seen is that it's a training. It's not a thing in itself,
yeah.
in a way.
Yeah.
So like yesterday, I had a moment where I was carrying a giant chainsaw, you know, and it's going and I'm cutting things and it drops in. It's time to check in. And so I did. And I checked in. I didn't turn off the thing to, you know, and do my recording. And I just saw how, I don't know, it's an inquiry like was being talked about, because I could really see like, well, you know, I can't really check in now, and now I can't really check in, and it doesn't really work to check in here, and it doesn't really, and pretty soon I'm checking in once a day, and that seems to cover it. And, you know, I can get the gist.
Yes.
And, you know, I pretty much remember, because I'm checking it in my head. You know, that would sort of be that slide.
Yeah, yeah.
But watching how, just like what's being talked about, so, you know, I'm in the middle of whatever, you know, working with the community on HaHa. Do I need to? Do I have to step away and go do this thing? Maybe not. You know, maybe I'm training myself to be checking in kind of all the time, if you will.
Yeah.
And then for me, it seems to be about every couple of hours that I'm actually available to stop and on my own and make a recording. And so anyway, it's just that it feels like that middle way of I'm not in charge of it. And yet, boy, it seems my participation is important.
It's important, yes. Yes, what I saw in that, and I saw it too when Penny was talking, was that, so I liked how you said it, that it's not the thing itself, it's the training.
Yeah.
And so so we're here we are, maybe we would check in once a day, or maybe twice a day, mm-hmm. maybe now it's every hour. Mm-hmm. What if we're being trained to check, to be in that checking in place all the time?
Exactly. 24/7. Yeah, well put.
And we get these tools, these practices that we get that come our way as just like the healthy foods, like, well, how about this? You want to put this in? Okay, how about this? You want to start to take this on? That'll give the system something really wonderful to work with as it assists, as it does the heavy lifting of waking us up. You know, and our part is to participate and say yes to the tools that come our way.
Mm-hmm.
This being a really wonderful one
of the
hourly check.
Yeah, one of my, a teabag said recently, something like, life is a flow of love, your participation is requested.
Mm. Oh.
I just thought that was so, so lovely, like it just is, and you know, we can actively participate or not, but we're in it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that when we actively participate, in my experience, we get to have an experience of it, which is so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get to have an experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scott.
I love that image of the old printers. Because at least my memory, and it would come across and just do, I think it would do like the top of the letters of all the words,
oh,
and then come back across, and by the time it was done, you would have a full like sentence with all the words. So I was imagining like what we're doing in practice is like that in reverse. So here's the book of Scott's life, you know, and you read it, and it's just being read to me over and over. Scott's like this, he's not like that, and it's just over and over. And then we do all these movements that I'm hearing, you know, this morning. Like, oh, wait a second, why am I feeling bad? Or, you know, wait, I'm not lonely. I have the recorder, I have the mic, you know, just that checking in. And it's like taking the top off the the thing that was just completely assumed to be what life is.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
There it is, in black and white.
It wasn't even, exactly, but not even that. You know, you're not even like, oh, there's this book about Scott's life. It was just being lived out as if that's the world.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, there's the taking off the top of the letter, and it's like, all of a sudden, there's an awareness that something's off.
Yeah.
You know, like something's not, that doesn't look right. And then you take like a, you know, and there's like another piece off of the, and then now the letters look, they're not quite formed. Uh-huh. And then it's like, wait, this isn't, there's something here that I've been reading over, been listening to over and over again, and there, it's being called into question.
Yes.
It's not, wait, this isn't real?
Yes.
You know, it just seemed completely real when it was the full black and white letters.
Yes.
And now you're taking, like, the some of it off, and it starts to look, somebody wrote this down?
Yeah.
Somebody's been saying this, this has been made up? Is kind of where the
direct,
somebody's been reading this to me, I've been reading it, whatever. It is, but that's what's been so interesting about practice is, I was just seeing this morning, it seems like I continue to get identified with this chapter 3 over and over and over again. Yet even, it seems like even when that's happening, there's something very near that's not believing that,
yeah.
That knows it's not true,
yeah.
That knows there's a dissonance. And that I can make that movement. I love that example of the mirrors, because that's what living in awareness practice does. You know, that's what the guy's always doing, is highlighting the process we're in.
Yeah.
Oh, what? You know, I can make that movement, but the movement goes so quickly because there's already a larger awareness that I seem to be at least somewhat close to that knows that that's not real. It's actually quite clear about it. It's just somehow I move over and get close to, quote, my karma, you know, really close to the fire,
yeah.
And it feels hot, it feels very real,
yeah.
Yet there's some sort of knowing that that's a fire,
yeah.
It's separate from me, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's, because, let's see, so much, so that thing that you keep describing as that knows that that's not it, and I'm really near it, well, in fact, that's what we are.
Yeah.
And maybe the, you know, the attention being on that awareness is just really near it or somehow, but somehow there's that resonance that I know those words on the page are not really real, really who Scott is. Now, I believe them in chapter 3. Maybe part of the reason I can begin to see them getting fuzzy is because I've cleared up on chapter 6. I know that one's not me anymore, and I know I'm, you know, and we get that sort of benefit of the lifetime of practice of seeing those letters disappearing slowly in some areas, and maybe more, you know, they're more tentative, they're hanging on more, and not tentative, but tenacious,
yes.
In other areas, in other chapters, but we know the process.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I got to go on with this beautiful image that you just like, the letters are just disappearing, and so by the end of the game,
yeah.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's the dissolving of the me and
yeah.
The printing, you know, and it's
yeah.
Just such a beautiful image.
Exactly. And that's also really interesting. I know that place.
Mm-hmm.
I know the blank page. It's gone. There is no. And just the whole process that we're talking about, it's like, okay, yes, 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 yes. And it seems like the tenacious word about the, just there's just a clinging,
mm-hmm.
Whatever that process of clinging mm-hmm. to being a me, because
yeah.
I mean I'll watch myself like the experience has been there's these behaviors, especially the you know the schedule's ended and it's nighttime, and there's these behaviors that I know really don't take care of me, even though they can sort of be in this guise of whatever relaxing or something like that. It's really about feeding ego.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's a thing about, like, we have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
At least for a little while, and then we can go back to being present. And it is like a compulsion or a clinging, or it's a strange agreement to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And almost like, I wish I could just take whatever that is that has to do that behavior, just go do it. But I don't want to be here. I don't want to, I don't find it. You really... But I don't seem to be able to do that, like...
Yet.
Mm-hmm. To go, okay, you go do those behaviors that I don't actually want to do,
mm-hmm.
Even though there's a big campaign that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just... And now all I can see is it's just clinging. I don't really believe it. I know I don't have to do it. I know that I'm happier when I don't. Yet, they continue to go on.
Yeah. Because that's, yeah, and that's such an interesting place, isn't it? I mean, truly a fascinating place to bring awareness, because it is that place where I know that that's not the behavior I want to do, but it's still clinging, and in some way we still find ourselves doing it. Wow. And so and we know from those other places that have dissolved that all it takes is over time bringing awareness to the process.
Yeah.
And so
that's helpful.
Yeah.
Actually, just because I could feel it setting up a battle,
uh-huh.
like a willing.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like, I'm going to not do that. And then, of course, you know, there's all this pressure, mm-hmm. and then I don't, and you're a failure, and all of that crud, which is just amazing.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
So amazing. Just, oh, that was so helpful. Just to, well, what's gone on so far? Well, just showing up and practicing awareness, receiving the support of the Sangha mm-hmm. and the guide, and that's all that's happened.
Yes.
There's never been a willing that's
yeah.
made, the, like, a, there's been a willingness.
Yeah.
But not a willing, not a finishing a battle that's made this work.
Yeah, because the only one that wants to make it a battle is the very I that wants to say it may thing.
I just saw that actually this morning. It was like, you know, you get to that place of like, okay, I'm sick of that. I'm not going to do those anymore. And then all these images come through about like things I have done that I loved, uh-huh. like sitting under the stars for 30, 60, 90 days every night. Doing these exercises every night that feel really good to the body, and you know, not having any caffeine for 30, you know, all of that, and then it's like, okay, that's what we're gonna do. And there's just this moment of, no, that's that thing.
Yeah.
About, okay, remember when we were perfect, or when everything was wonderful? That's what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, that's not the process. That those things were wonderful, and it does help when I commit to something and do it every day. But the process there is suspect.
Oh, that is such a subtle place. Because it feels so successful, right?
It totally, I can feel the energy rising up. Oh, yeah, here
yes.
we go.
I'm going to win this one, this round.
Oh, it'll feel so good, and I've done that before, and I can do it. I know how it feels, and I'm ready. And
yes, which is such
just being like real.
I was just going to that same place. It's like such a creepy experience of ego taking this really wonderful experience of I've loved the experience of sitting under the stars between you and making these commitments and keeping them and really getting to benefit and the body benefits and everything. So it takes this wonderful experience.
Brings me to that experience.
Yes.
That was
and
really
then,
wonderful.
Then globs onto it and makes and kind of mutates it into this process that you are that you can be in with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Which of course, yeah, is meant to bring up the energy. Siphon the energy off, and then make it all about me, how it didn't work out.
Yes, and just to point out the obvious, you're seeing it all.
Yeah, well, which brings back to that point, that's all we're doing.
That's all we're ever doing.
And just back to that other point about, like, we just seem to be some sort of input, and then it's doing the rest, and I guess my input is just to bring my attention to awareness, or bring attention to awareness, or however you want to talk about it, the best I can.
Yeah.
And stop trying to make it go a certain way or do it like I did before or all those processes that are essentially about there's a someone here who can do something.
Yes, there's something dropping in about that very point. It came through on a recording recently, something that a quote or something, and it was something like this, that awareness, if we're in the conversation with conditioned mind, that's really all awareness has to work with. You know, it can't, you know, it's the input, is, you know, but when, or all life has to work with. But when our attention is on awareness, then it just opens the portal for all kinds of, so there's the input on the spiritual level, for lack of a better word, of, okay, I want to have my attention on awareness, and awareness holding attention, then life can do with it what it does. And I'm giving it the best input possible. But when my attention is on the conversation and I'm believing it, then that's all, that's the input I'm giving. Mm-hmm. And so to underline that point of what Jen was just saying, it's all about the input, and that's all we're ever bringing to the party.
Yeah, and just, I mean, even just the awareness of all of that, You know what I mean? It's not, okay, because I can see how that could go into, okay, well, I mean, are you, what kind of info are you giving? I mean, I've probably given the life as conditioned mind. I mean, what do you expect life to do with that?
Yeah.
You know, if you're not going to do the practices, then I mean, why are you even living here, really, if you're not going to, you're just going to hang out and, you know?
There's that creepy process.
Yeah. So, I mean, just how it wants to take something being offered and co-opt it again into somebody's going to do something.
Yes.
You know? As opposed to, it just seems like the natural process of being a human being is being in awareness.
Yes.
That's not something I have to create or make up or do.
Yes.
I mean, yes. I don't know. I guess it's such a fascinating thing because it does seem like there's some sort of agency around directing the attention, but even that, like, well, what's doing that?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It just gets you to more and more like, I'm just going to stay out of conclusions and making things happen and just breathe and experience.
Yes.
And I don't even know. It's just so interesting. It reminds me of this like Leonard Cohen thing, this composer, music guy, about the, you know, the less of me there was, the happier I am.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, and it's just sort of like seeing how me is there and just letting that go.
The less of me there was,
the happier I was.
Yeah. Well, and that reminds me of another Leonard Cohen quote of, unless we become the ocean, we're going to get seasick every day. You know?
Wow.
Isn't that a good one? It's kind of pointing to the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, and I love that, just to underline that part that you were saying, it just so makes you want to stay out of conclusions. Out of drawing conclusions.
Yeah.
And just living in the, what was that from the Project Joy this week? The gentle kindness of heaven.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying really quickly at the end is I can feel that movement to just really enjoying. Well, it was interesting. I noticed I was really enjoying everyone who was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just noticed I was really enjoying this person who was speaking. Yeah. And just, what a dear person.
Yes.
You know, and that not taking it personally, I could feel that movement.
Yes.
You know, and wanting to give him whatever he needs and make sure he knows it's not nothing wrong that he did or anything like that. Just a gassho to the whole, the whole process.
Yeah. Just a gassho to the whole process,
mm-hmm.
and really embodying that Leonard Cohen quote of the less there is of me, the happier.
Yeah, I could feel that movement. Exactly.
And just delight and rest in that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Just super quickly, I love the image of taking away the letters. That was such a great experience because I'm like, it's something about putting the letters on, but that's not quite it.
Yeah.
But I just saw
that blank page.
In that conversation where that process of being reeled back in, like, oh, that's so great, I'm going to...
Uh-huh.
That's just, then the letters start going back on.
Yeah.
The letters start going back on. And it just really, well, it was so helpful because I saw, it's no wonder that it doesn't feel like we're constantly, you know, quote, making progress. But what I really saw with that was kind of putting it together with the, you know, that was the end of loneliness,
uh-huh.
where you just get to a place where sometimes for me, I even realize it months later, that fell away. Like,
mm-hmm.
fell away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, has not haunted me again for years, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just seeing how it's like, letters come off, letters go on, letters come off, letters go on, letters
yes.
come off, letters go on. But that's all a wearing away process.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the metaphor would be there, but something like, there's no paper to write on anymore.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, because it's
yes.
still trying, but there's no place for the letters to go.
Yes.
It's just worn away.
Yes.
There's no more paper.
It's not that we're the letters, it's that we're not even the paper.
Yeah, it's just there's nothing
yes,
there to...
There's nothing. It just is a process going on and coming on. It's actually kind of back to what Penny was talking about. It's all karma.
Exactly. Well, and I was going there too with the, like, and what is it that pays attention? And it's like, well, you know, maybe it's all karma.
Yeah.
You know, I was making a recording the other day, just that place of like, and who knows, you know, when the lights will all come on and blah, blah, blah. But I often get to that place where if I can have an influence of setting this up for the next beautiful incarnation to come along, and then I'm all in, you know?
Yes.
Doesn't have to be me.
Yeah.
Because it isn't going to be. It can't be.
Yeah. Well, and to get to live in such a way that we get to set it up for the next
Exactly. Like that in itself is a, it's kind of the thing, I think it's Andrew Cohen who says, you know, basically, I'm butchering it, I'm sure, but what's the difference between someone who's, quote, enlightened and someone who has given everything to the process of enlightenment? Mm-hmm. Is there any difference? Mm-hmm. Right? Only the ego would see any difference. Because only the ego would look to see whether I'm there or not, and mm-hmm. am I feeling it or not, and that's not that process. If I'm giving everything to it, there'd be nothing left over to check to see whether I'm having the experience or not.
Yes. Because the only thing that would check is something that would have to come into existence for the purpose of checking something out one way or the other.
Yeah. That dual yes. And then that commitment that's there, it's like, whoop, it's kind of like what's being talked about in that last conversation. Oop, that's not what I'm doing. Right back here. Uh-huh. And then truly, right here, there is no past, there is no future, there is no, a very simple way, I just read it recently, is that the present is nirvana and time is samsara. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when I'm here, there is no, what would I, how, there's nothing to assess. How would I have to either use the past or the future.
Yes.
To assess.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. It's very simple. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a great conversation. That whole thing, the present and the this reminded me this week I had an experience. I was doing something, and the mind was having a whole party about, is it the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do, the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do, and then I was aware the body was just doing it. It's like, you know what, maybe that whole conversation is unnecessary, you know, just go with the body, you know, and it's like, you know, that's what's happening in the present.
Yes.
And there's no problem,
yes.
You know, and I just, it was just like this huge relief.
Yes.
You know, I think, you know, the breath, the body, just take the lead, Sequoia. And, you know, dropped out all that other stuff, and it was, you know.
Oh, I love it. It could be the check-ins, well, what is actually happening? Never mind the whole conversation. What's actually so, oh, okay, the body seems to be doing this, so here it is. I'm just going to go with that.
So I think I'm more and more just practicing hanging out. And,
something's coming to mind from, it was from the retreat and it was around guilt, and the antidote to guilt was unconditional acceptance of I have my flashcards, clearly I haven't studied them enough yet, but it was, but the gist of it is
impermanence,
yes, acceptance of impermanence, thank you, and that is really that, like, how egocentric as something is actually unfolding to then glob on to say, I keep using that phrase, but anyway, to sort of lay on top of it, like, well, is this right or is this wrong? Is this the right thing to do or is this is bad? Like, that's so irrelevant.
It's so
because
irrelevant.
It is what's happening. Yeah. And in that moment, as we embrace impermanence, we can see that now, because by the time we've decided if that's good or bad, we're on to this life is on to something else.
We've missed the enjoyment of whatever,
we miss where we truly are.
Exactly. Just being there in the body and awareness, breathing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Another lyrical one.
Yeah. I did like him. I'm glad he came to group this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad I came to group this morning.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad all of you came. I could say a whole lot, but the gist of it is I've been forgetting to be joyful. And the karma of being, of trying to think my way to center is jealous. Here. And it's being difficult. Getting just showing up Sunday morning is a thing to do.
Yes. And there it is. Everything we've been talking about culminating in that one expression of the experience. Okay, here's that place that Scott was talking about where I know it doesn't work to think my way in the center. I know that, but there I am doing it, trying to do it, right? And then we have these mirrors, these places that get reflected to us. Okay, it's Sunday morning, time to show up. That's just what we do. And we get that sort of blessed little realization or awareness that, oh yeah, I'm seeing it and it's not pleasant. So there it is. That's what we're practicing with. That's the page that's being, you know, worked on right now in our metaphorical book of that we are not. Yes. It's so good to see. And getting, you couldn't say, I've been forgetting to be joyful if you weren't saying it from a place of joy.
Well, when it dropped in, that's what I've been forgetting. And that's in that instant, yeah.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
Yeah. Because we can't see it except for outside of the experience.
Yeah. And someone said something about love. I've been forgetting love.
Yeah.
And one other thing that is just huge for me, I'm probably going to cry again. I don't think that in all this time that I've been hanging around here, I've actually seen the difference between being identified, okay, egocentric karmic conditioning, the difference between that and self-hate, that being identified is one experience, being identified and being hated for it is a completely different experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never put it together.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you just, what you described, it is actually mentioned on the retreat, and I saw it in a very, very new way too. That same way that being identified with karmic conditioning is one experience, and then being hated for it, then you add the element of self-hate, is just particularly vicious.
Yeah.
And it is. They're two different experiences.
Yeah.
Two different intensities of the process. It's so subtle to get that.
It seems very basic, actually. It seems like, yeah, so there's the self-hate right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how basic is that? Well,
oh, it's the cumulative thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There you go. Yes. There it is. Yeah, it's a cumulative thing. Right, as you say, all this time I've been hanging around practice, which you've been doing a lot more than just hanging around, right? All this time we've been practicing, and it is, it's a cumulative. And it's that other fun thing we were talking about earlier. I can hear something 10,000 times, and then it's so much fun when I hear it 10,001. Yeah, and without self-hate, commenting on that, making it a hateful kind of accusation kind of thing, it's fabulous. Yeah.
Well, at this point, it's still there. I still hear it.
Yep.
It's still always inputs, catching it more and more.
Yeah. And that's I think that's what...
It's so weird. Of course, I've been aware of it for a very long time. I guess I'm just seeing a level of it that was never apparent.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what we're always doing, isn't it? We're seeing deeper and deeper levels of its attempts to control our lives and to ruin our lives. And it kind of goes back to what Jen was talking about. Man, if we can just make this life, set it up for whatever the next, your incarnation, to the depths that you're now seeing it.